also want to say this morning that God comes with grace and mercy. And so when you ask him, he will help. He will come near with his power and his love. And he will come in a way that you know or maybe do not know and help and love. So this morning, let your request be made before the Lord. Say, Lord, you know I'm almost at the end with this relationship. I almost feel like I cannot take more of this. But this morning I decide to bring it before you. Shine your light on me. Extend grace and mercy. Maybe it's a frustration with yourself. Say, Lord, I'm getting more and more frustrated with myself. Maybe as a disciple, or maybe as someone as a part of your family, or whatever it is, say, Lord, I come to you and I want to rely this morning on your grace and mercy to come into my life and lift me up. We want to thank you for this time of worship, Lord. May our hearts remain open before you as we look into your word and allow it to make little cuts into our hearts, little ways to open in and go deeper. This morning we are yours and we consecrate ourselves to you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's lekker om hier te wees. You are very smart by being here for the first service. I know every car outside is packed with a couple of towels, sunscreen, and you should be ready to head to a beach. Just ask the person sitting next to you, without taking out your phone, what does it mean to be justified, or what does justification mean? As you're speaking to your friend, just try your best, like, don't worry to be right or wrong. What does it mean to be justified? What is justification? It's a groot woord for Afrikaanse mensen. Right, let's go on. Listen, the last two sermons of Pastor Andres was really amazing. If you missed it, please go on YouTube and see the messages on mercy and grace and peace. And last week, I just fell onto my heart again when Andres said, because of God, we are safe. That's why we say, I am saved. I'm safe. There's a peace there. And what I did this week is I went to dig into my heart. And I'm like, Lord, but what is it? Where's this thief that steals peace? And we know who the thief is, but what is his tactics? You know, like, where does he come in? Because every now and then I catch myself and I'm like, where's my peace? And then sometimes it's an hour or so that I realize something's not sitting right on my heart. Other times I realize, hey, I've been sitting with this now for a week. What's going on here? Who's felt like that before? We're like, Lord, what's going on here? And so what I'm trying to do this morning, my goal is peace, but peace through the gospel. Here's the thing with the gospel. You can know the facts, but you can put it in your heart upside down. And if it's not in the heart right side up, it does not work. And it leaves the heart with openness for the enemy to come in and sell you a lie here, lead you astray. Then at the end, what you lose is you lose your peace. Okay. And so this is a big mouthful, but I did condense it, so it'll be the tip of an iceberg. So I'll call this message the title, which I did change about 41 times. Not sure. The Substitute and the Curse. And now everyone remembers The Curse of the Mummy and all those horror movie titles of it. But a curse or cursedness is actually a biblical loaded term. We're going to look at it. A message on justification. Now, let me just start a little bit wider. In Scripture, Jesus is portrayed to us, obviously he's fully God, fully man, but he's got different functions. He's the judge, he's the lamb. He's the son, he's the creator. And two of those that I just want to touch on for a moment is Christ is shown to be our example. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. If we can go to that next slide, it'll be great. All right, so when you look at an example, you look with the intent to copy. Listen, there was a guy in my res, and there was no one on campus that walked as funny as he did. I'm not going to say his name because maybe one of you know him. But he was an extremely smart guy, intelligent. But when he walked, now I can't do it, so don't laugh at me. He would walk into this, he would be able to, it looks like he's lying down. And we would always joke around the res with how he walked. And then one day, the stars aligned and he was walking over the library, op die rooiplein by Stellenbosch. Wie weet wat die rooiplein is? It's a big piece of paving. There's a library underneath. And that day, there was a mime on the rooiplein. And this guy was doing his thing, and then he saw this character walking past, and he stopped everything, and he went behind him. And he just walked behind him for 200 meters, and we were in stitches. When you see an example that's good, you want to follow after. So some of us would do the same. We'd show maybe a good cricket player. You show how to bowl to your son. He's like, kijk hoe, so Alan Donald. Kijk, haar arm is hier. Hij komt daar niet, hij komt daar. And so you look at the example and you pattern your life after. That's common sense. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also have to love one another. He who says he's in Christ ought to walk just as he did. Right, so Christ is our example, but Christ is also our substitute. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. Okay, he suffered once for sins, the righteous suffered for the unrighteous. And so we look at Christ as our example, we look at Christ as our substitute. It's very important to distinguish between the two. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We see Christ the example and Christ the substitute. Now, in our world, Christ the example is easier picked up as Christ the substitute, and I'll tell you why. In most religions, the head, or that, whether that is Muhammad or whoever, is looked at as an example. Remember, Muhammad said this, we must do that. Or remember, even if you out there, let's follow the teachings of Gandhi. Gandhi said this, let's do it. This person is my mentor. And so this idea of an example is not foreign to us, but there's only one God who came in the place of those he loved. you guys will remember, I know only one poem, and therefore it is also my favorite poem. Jesus of the Scars is the title of the poem. It says, the other gods were strong, but thou was weak. They rode to thrones, but thou, my God, hast stumbled to a cross. The idea of Christ, our substitute, it is something that you get when you get him, but it is not easy in our world to understand that this is foreign. This is the way of God. It's incredible. Now, we need to look at both, but I will offer that we often need to look better and deeper into what does it mean that Christ is my substitute, because there's a lot of help and healing there. And that's what I want to do this morning. Allow me to unpack. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. You saw it. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What Paul is saying is there's a way you can get your hands on the gospel, but the way you put it in your heart can be off-center. You had your hands on it, and maybe you began in the right way, but watch out that you keep it right side up in your heart. Because if over time one becomes maybe traumatized by this event, or this thing causes one to open your heart for fear and pride, or there's a massive breakdown in this area, and you could, if you not pay attention, turn the gospel in a different way by what you experience in your life. And Paul is saying, having begun in the Spirit, pay careful attention how you carry on. Are you with me this morning? Now let's go on. Same chapter. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. There's that word, curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them live by them. Just read that next slide as well. Christ redeemed us from the curse. There we see the substitution. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Those are strong words. That's strong words right there. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree. So that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That includes us. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now, let's talk about this idea of a curse for a moment. This is not New Testament language only. It's also in the Old Testament. If I can cite one example, in Deuteronomy, it says, in verse 9, chapter 28, it says, the Lord will establish you as the people holy to himself if you keep my commandments. Okay, hold on here. I'm being technical. We're going to apply soon. The Lord will establish you holy to himself. That's relational language. That's covenant language. But listen up. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, be careful to do all his commandments and keep his statutes that I command you today, then these curses shall come upon you. Now, we've seen too many horror movies. Oh, I speak for myself. When I was young, those are the ones I took. Ek het hulle gaan albei these videos because I was very curious about all the supernatural stuff. The Lord had to heal me and renew my mind. In the biblical language, the idea of curse is not, it's not only someone running around like a chicken of iemand se oor wat omdop. It gets placed as the opposite of being with the Lord, in the face of the Lord. One would be in a healthy covenant with the Lord or cursed. One would be cursed or reconciled to Jesus. One would be together or cursed and apart. And so it's always have been in the context of the covenantal relationship that God wanted for Israel. When they were with him, they were blessed. When they were sinning, they were cursed. Okay. Now, it's amazing how Paul uses his language. If we go back to the previous slide again, he says, cursed be everyone. Now it is evident, verse 11, that no one is justified before God. And the idea that's being painted there is this idea of you coming and literally coming before him. Have you in your life somewhere had to go or come before an authority figure and you knew you were in trouble? But you had to go there and appear before him. Net Ecke, who's been there? I'll give you my first memory of my life, grade one. Now the teacher, my grade one teacher was also my next door neighbor. And so I thought I can be, I can treat her like, I don't know, less because I'm familiar with her. And so Juffrou Helena het gebid. And Werner thought it was funny. I was crawling under the tables, thinking it was funny. And when she said amen, she was saying amen with a whole lot of children laughing at me and finding me under the tables. And here's what she said. I'm not going to deal with you. You will appear before Meneer Botha. You will go to the principal. And you know what? It was the first time I can remember that I had to come before an authority figure that was not my father. And I was afraid because I knew. I've heard about that office as a grade one. I've heard. Yevely da vesi. And so as I was walking in the hallway, listen, this is primary school. So the word curse may be too strong, but please just allow me. What I was feeling, the fear, the anxiety, the blood running out of my legs as this young child going to appear before. I know what it must feel like to live under the curse of God. Knowing you have to appear before him and the judgment will not be great. Because I've been there even as a young child. But it also leaves us as a great dilemma, with a great dilemma. Each of us, every human will appear before the Lord. Everyone will appear before. And there's something about that. In one way, the human race wants to run away from that. Like, but you know what? There's something else just pulling us to him. Why? It leaves us with this dilemma. I want to hide and run, but I want to come. He breathed into us. We are made in his image. So something in us wants to go before him, but we're afraid. And so unless something happens, we are cursed. If we remain under the law, we also opat to appear before him. That does not feel like peace. But peace is what I want. It's what I desire. Luckily, it's like we want to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will help me? I'm on my kasopata meneer Botha too. Who will help me? Verse 13, but Christ redeemed us from the curse. Okay, it's a substitute. He redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. What does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus started sinning on the cross? When scripture said he became a curse, it's very important for us to know this. The gospel must be placed in our hearts in the right way. No. To be justified, I don't know what your answer was, it is a legal term to be declared innocent. In a legal way, Christ became a curse before the Father. Legally, not morally. He did not become sinful. He did not sin. He remained true. But legally, he became a curse. It's very important. And then he took the legal punishment of those who would be cursed in that way on himself. Substitute. substitute. I know I'm going long, but this is going to land on application. Now let's read through that. Therefore, there is a difference between being justified and then growing as a disciple. We need to take the two apart before we blend them back. Justification is a legal standing. Sanctification speaks about how you are actually growing. Okay? So you might still be failing in your heart in areas, but before God, forgiven, at peace. Not because you started well, but because legally someone else stood in your place. Where will you get peace this week? If you're going to look for peace in your own efforts, you're not going to find a lot if you are honest. Justification is once for all time. It's a moment, it's an event, you surrender, whereas sanctification is continuous. Now, one of these speaks to Christ as substitute, one of these speaks to Christ as example. I've already said justification through our substitute, sanctification through our example. Now, very important, if you think you will be saved because you follow the example well, you've got the gospel, that's heresy. Here's the life of Christ. If you follow well, you will be, that's not the gospel. The following will happen. But each thing must be at its place. That's godly wisdom. First things first, then we go on. Justification is God's work. Who did it? Jesus. God made peace with mankind through his work. The gospel is not the good news of how well I fared. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus did. But then I get to cooperate and now I grow. Can you see that? It's very important. Justified, you justified or you're not. It's perfect or it's not. You're born again or you're not. Yet sanctification is a lifelong process. It carries on, you grow, the Lord helps you. And you will not be perfect in this life. Justification, it looks the same before the Father for all people, justified or not. Did the substitute die for that person or not? But with sanctification, Some seems to follow the example of Christ really well after becoming new. Others very poorly. Can you see that? For this sermon, we're living more there by justification. Justification is becoming a child, being adopted by God. You're a son. I love you. We have peace. You're in my home. Sanctification is growing as that child. Without being chased away, adopted in, as you struggle and grow. You're a child or not. There's a reason I'm going through this. Just to summarize, Christ the substitute justifies us. Christ the example sanctifies us or leads us. The gospel must be right side up. This is very important. John Stott, great quote. The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God. I will do this. The greatest sin is not watching porn. The greatest sin is not adultery. The greatest sin is not using drugs. The greatest sin is I will do it. Because from that leads all those things. I will find a way in this life to achieve happiness. I will rely. I am the captain of my ship. Watch me. I will do it. That must be repented of by turning to the substitute. All the other sins will be dealt with. The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. And John the Baptist did not understand. When Jesus came, he said, I cannot. Jesus, how can you stand in my place? I am a sinner, therefore you need to baptize me. Jesus says, no, for all righteousness to be fulfilled, I have to stand in your place because I am your substitute. So you baptize me. The substitute has come. Now let me play with this for a couple of minutes. So you appear before a king. This is not God, please. Every analogy fails. The king says, okay, I'm going to kill you unless you run the 100 meters in under 10 seconds. But don't worry. Don't worry. Here is Usain Bolt. I know he's not the fastest man on the earth right now, but bear with me. He's the fastest man on the earth. World record. What's that? 9.57? Something like that. He will be your example. So you can study him this whole week. Look at his life rhythms. Look at his gait. Dis hoe sy voete die grond tref. Study him. Study him. He is the best we have. I'm giving you the best example. And in 1 week's time, in lane number 5, you will put on the shoes and we'll set you off. You have got nothing to worry about. The example is the best in the world. He did 9.57. You only have to do a sub 10. But if you don't, you will die. Hussein, the example. The same man comes before a good king. King says, listen, I have to kill you because of all your crimes unless you're under 100 meters, under 10 seconds. In lane number 5, we will meet next week. Here's Usain Bolt, best runner of all time, 9.57. Look at how he runs, isn't it glorious? Behold him. But let me tell you something. I had a meeting with Usain, and this is what we're going to do. Next week at lane number 5, wait for us in that lane. But on that day, what will happen is he will actually run for you. And you can go and sit in the stands. The difference between having Christ only as example and having him as substitute. But let me tell you what, my child, he actually ran already. You will live. But what I want you to do for the rest of your life is remember how this man runs and give your time, your love, your prayers, lift up your hands, worship me in order to run like this man ran. And you know what? If you run a 14.95, you will have peace with me. If you run under 10, you know what? Don't get too proud. It's by my spirit. Christ the substitute cannot be lost on our hearts, or we will not have peace. Every one of us here know we will appear before him. You know what? In some sense, we appear before him daily because we are living before his face. Are you living with a sense of shame? Are you living with peace disrupted? Go and find out what it means that Jesus is your substitute. And cease from your own works. And accept that he wants to arrive in your lane and run on your behalf. I am not saying, because I can hear your thoughts. Hannah, are you saying that people must just get saved without repenting from sin? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, conquering sin and everything that lies ahead will only be possible in the face and in the presence of God as a son. It comes first in the gospel, not second. We have peace by God by worshiping and adoring our substitute. It's very important. Three things that will happen to the heart that gets this. And we want to pray together this morning. When we receive Jesus as our substitute, worship happens with a melted heart. You know, I like that term. What I mean by that is, worship is baptized in gratitude. You did that for me. I stood by the side, messed up, and then you stepped into my place. That cannot be. That blows me. You see, there's a difference in worship. If you even look from the outside in those who knows they're coming to worship their substitute, and those who only view him as example, because you might be thinking that you did well that week and you can be bouncing in church. Or you can break under worship because you feel your lack the whole time. Because you see his standard and you see yourself. You can be full of pride or full of agony, and you will bounce before the two. Christ must be known as the substitute first and foremost in the gospel. Otherwise, there'll be this sense of cursedness. I will have to appear before him. Am I all right? And if you want to make it really worse, you say, you know what, Lord, I failed this week. But the next year, I will be better. And I will try harder. And no one will stop me. You're just digging deeper. You cannot do it. You need a substitute to settle the gospel in your heart. Peace between parties, peace between man and God is won by Jesus Christ. And so a person that worships, it worships with a melted heart. Every week, I'm just reminded you did that for me. That then flows into the worship of the Lord and different types of experiences. For a moment, it doesn't matter who's here. For the heart that is melted, it would not be an issue if we have to worship from worship lyrics for the next 3 months. Because we don't have a... Or we're sending our band to help another church. No problem. Because it's not about these guys. It's about my heart looking for an opportunity to say thanks again. Worship is too long. Worship is too short. Worship is too loud. Worship is stopped. It does not matter. You see, receiving him as a substitute changes everything because it puts the gospel right side up. It's interesting when Paul was correcting Peter for behaving like a hypocrite. Who remembers that? He would swing up to and fro between the Gentiles and the Jews. You remember what he said? He said, "Why did you forget the gospel?" That's what he said. He did not say, why are you committing the sin of partiality? That's just one little fruit. He said, you forgot the gospel. You see, getting the gospel right side up solves most of our issues. It flows like a river into all areas. Thank you, Hendrik and team, for blessing us. For helping us with that. When we receive Jesus as our substitute, the second thing that happens is we start to flourish before the face of God. I bear a curse if there's a sense that I have to appear before him and he knows what I did, what I thought. You know what? Some of us have gotten used to living like that. We are walking with shame before the Lord. We have forgotten about the substitute. But when we get this, there's the sense that we flourish before him. There's a lot of prayers through the day. There's a talking with him. There's a thanking you with your friends. Like, can we quickly pray for that? Because in one way, following the example only, I need to get to church, and this is my path, my chesed, and some of us, we're being dragged in here by our spouse, but thank goodness it's almost done. The second service must start at 10, and then we'll be out of here, and then I'll hold my breath to next week. But you know what? It's different when we get him as our substitute. We find ways to come before him the whole time because we are accepted. Remember, the curse was taken and the righteousness of Christ given, and he's waiting for you. There's a proximity there. There's casual speech and then Jesus said this to me and then I was so, you know, because we're constantly living before his face. He's shining on us and we are healthy. And we see this with the Apostle Paul. He says, you know what? I've learned to even boast in my failings because it does not matter. When I fail, there'll be grace. But one thing I will do is I will remain before his face. My God and me. Another thing to help us to see whether we need healing there is, one of the members of the worship team just gave me this word that they felt in prayer is, sometimes the Lord is busy with you. It's a work of pruning. It's a work of growing or refining. And you're like, what did I do wrong? Why is this? Where did I sin? Why is God mad at me? But what he's doing is he's having his hand in you. Remember, he is making you beautiful for him. And so all things work together for the good for those who love God. So sometimes we are busy in the working together time. And those who get Jesus as a substitute remain before God's face during that time. And so if you find that often when things go wrong, you're like, but I think there's a relationship break and now he's back. Please, carry your heart to him. If there's sin to be repented of, do it. But remain before his face. Does that make sense? For those who rely on Jesus, you can appear before him often because he delights in you. And the last thing I want to say, because then it moves. We're talking about what he did for us, what he did for us. We're talking about justification. And then it starts to move. Our hearts are prepared for serving and mission. It's being prepared. And it's a very important preparation that happens there. Until I get that Jesus is my substitute, I am not fit to serve you properly. I'll tell you why. In my serving, if I don't get this, it is done. I'm accepted. I'm a son. I am loved. It is dealt with by the substitute. When I serve you, there's a little bit of strife there. A little bit. I served 4 hours. No one said thank you. I served 6 hours. She only served 1.5 hours. Why? Because the gospel is not right side up. The heart that works through the melted heart, Jesus did it for me, flourishing before his face, I'm full, serves without needing anything back from those that are serving. They're serving the one who substituted himself, and it's a great delight. Are you still remembering? Are you still walking with peace before the face of the Lord daily? Some of you here, maybe there's someone here and you've been struggling with something for many years, and you think, once I sort that out, I will be welcomed by God and welcome in this team, in this church. Wrong way around. You come to him first. Allow him to love you. Become a son and a daughter, which imputes into you righteousness, the Spirit, and then you go back and face the giants with him behind you. Amen. This changes everything. I need to stop now, but the one who receives Jesus as a substitute with gratefulness loves his wife in a different way. There's something done for me by Christ that I will never expect you to do. If I think I must perform for the Lord that he might accept me as a son and I'm going to give my best and my son is coming through the ranks, I might project that up to him. You must perform. I love you, but you must perform. I love you, but you must make 18. I love you, but we must watch out. What happens to the heart once we get Jesus as a substitute? It heals us up for life. I love you no matter what happens in the sports field. Are you with me this morning? He is our substitute. And then our example in growth. Let's sit this morning and yield our hearts to him. I wanna really give everyone the opportunity to do what I could do this week, and that is to just assess my peace with him. And I want to ask you, even as a Christian, maybe you've been in this church for many years, are you still remembering, worshiping, and flourishing before the face of your substitute, the one who came in your place? Because there's the key to your peace. And just where you are sitting, maybe just take a moment and say, Jesus, I'm sorry if I forgot a little bit. I just give you the glory again. My relationship with you is not a work of my own. It is you. I'm so overcome by your love. I'm so grateful. Bottom line, you are a child, loved, seen by the Father as righteous because of what the substitute has done. Just enjoy that for a moment. Need it, because you're going to need that power for the road ahead. And let's just work through it. I want to ask you, are you still coming before his face without being scared and afraid? If you've been hesitant, just bring it to him. Say, Lord, if I'm really, really, really honest, I must say that I do the things Christians should do. I hope I'm across the line, but if I'm really honest, I can't describe myself as really flourishing before your face. Help me to enjoy you more, to love you, and to come before your face often. Thank you, Lord, for every heart this morning, every life. There's enough going on in this world. Father, you know, we cannot afford to not be in front of your face, enjoying you and experiencing you enjoying us as your children. Like the scripture says, you'll dance over us. You delight in us because of what Jesus has done. Thank you for that, Lord. Help us to pull into your presence in order to be strong as we leave for mission. This morning I want to ask out of my heart, this is why we are here, if you would like someone to pray with you, to make sure that you open your heart wide for Jesus, the Savior and substitute, then we want to pray with you this morning. We've got people all over the place that's prepared to pray with you and to help you and love you in that way. So this morning, if you can sense him just drawing you near, and you know that tension I spoke about, like wanting to be before him yet hesitant, I can tell you with all the certainty that you can appear before the Father because Jesus is inviting you there to love him and to be loved by him. And so if we can pray for you this morning while every eye is closed, would you be so brave just to put your hands up very high and say, that's me. I want to do that. Thank you for that hand. Just put your hand up very high. We can see you. Is there anyone else that would like, thank you for that hand. There's someone brave there in the middle. Just keep your hand up. Someone's going to bring a booklet to you. Thank you so much. Let's stand this morning in this place. We're going to have a time of prayer here in the front, and I want to invite you, if you had your hand up, or maybe you wanted to put your hand up but you were a bit shy, if you come out, we're going to have a lot of facilitators right here on my right hand side, and we've got a little book we want to give you, and we want to pray for you. But we also want to pray for you if you just want to do business with the Lord, and you just want someone to pray with you, just to be there with you, just kindness, just someone to pray with you and help you through what you are facing. So I'm going to finish for us formally and allow you guys to grab a coffee and make space for the next service. But we'd love to hang around and pray with anyone with any prayer request. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here this morning. Work on our hearts. We consecrate our hearts to you. Help us to put the gospel right side up, to believe it well and flourish before your face. And we pray for that in the name of Jesus alone. Amen. Amen, everyone. If you've got a prayer request, you can just quickly come to the front, and we'd love to pray for you. Thank you so much.